The Gemara, and just this fascinating little Brisa of Rabbi here, has a fundamental, seems to have a fundamental machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. Rabbi Meir says that they're mutter to use a moch because of sakana. So we discussed exactly what the nature of that heter of sakana was. Different shatim, promotion, tosus rid, etc. Or maybe it's always mutter under any time, and the yamshu shloho. But the chachamim said shomer psayim Hashem, and bein l'Rashi bein l'Tosos. Rashi says Rav Meir matters the chacham aser. So the kasher is have the chacham aser sakana. But even according to Rabbeinu Tam, Rav Meir says you should guard yourself from sakana. Chacham is saying no problem, just ignore the sakana. It's the same kasher l'kuli amo. Whether chacham is saying aser or the chacham are saying potter. Either way, how can you say it's usher to save yourself from sakana, and how can you say you're putter from saving yourself from sakana? All over Shas, the basic yisod in all of Shas, we all know you're not allowed to put yourself in sakana. So how can the chachamim allow you to put yourself in sakana? So obviously it's not a kasha on the simple level, because they don't allow you to put yourself in sakana. They say shomer psoim Hashem, that you're not in sakana because Hashem will be shomer you. But that only begs the kasha, the question, because what do you shomer psoim Hashem? Hashem could, right? He is infinitely powerful. He can be shomer as many psoim as he wants, as much as he wants from any danger that he desires. Right? But obviously, we say in Kolot Shas Kula that you're not allowed to put yourself in sakana, and you cannot trust Hashem to be shomer you from sakana. You have to do your own hishtablus. For whatever philosophical reason you want to give, we're not interested in philosophy now. Right? So how come in all of Shas, you have to be shomer yourself from sakana, and all of a sudden we find in a couple of sugyas that you can rely on Hashem to save you from sakana, and you don't have to worry about yourself. So, what's shot in shomer psarim Hashem? Where do you find shomer psarim Hashem? We find it in, now if you count every time a Brisa appears, that's many types in Shas. But actual sugyas in Shas, I think we find it in five places in Shas. We find the concept of shomer psarim Hashem. One is our sugya and many other cases, which is the Gimel Nashim, right? Also, we have Nida Daf Laman Aleph Amun Aleph, right? What's the case there? Nida Daf Laman Aleph Amun Aleph. That what is exceedingly dangerous? Tash Vishamita on the 90th day of pregnancy. Well, the sakana for the uvar. Again, I don't understand it based on modern science, but that's not necessarily important. And you are asked, well, how do you know when is the 90th day of pregnancy? So I said, that's shomer psoim Hashem. Right, so that is tashmish biyom tzadi. And we have some other sugyas also that are not necessarily tashmish oriented. We have two hakaza oriented sugyas, right? We have Shabbos Kuf Kuf Pes on the base. What is that talking about? Again, something that we don't necessarily totally understand how that fits LP modern science, but that's also not strictly important right now. What's the case in Shabbos Daf Kuf Kuf Tes? That is exactly days of Akaza. Thank you. Certain days it is dangerous to do Hakazas Dam because Mars is, it's actually a big machlokes we're shown in there, whether it means Mars is at an angle, Mars is bizavi, or whether it means that Mars is at an even hour of the day because of the problem of Zugos, that Mars is bizugi. But it doesn't really matter because we're not experts in astrology anyway. Here we are. Okay. Apologize. We're not experts in astrology. Anyway, so this is Hakaza. What was it? It was Be'erev Shabbos, right? Be'erev Shabbos, because Mars is, wherever Mars is, it's a place very, very dangerous, right? And Mars is bloodshedding, right? Ma'adim is the so therefore if you bleed when Mars is the wrong place, it could be very dangerous. Okay, and then we also have Yavam Asayin Beis Amun Aleph. And the Gemara says, no problem. Shomer psoim Hashem. Yivam sa'ad ayin beis amun aleph. What's the case there? That is Mila be yoma de'eva, or the or when there's a southerly wind. Right?
So that is
Mila or Hakaza, right? Either do a bris Mila or Hakaza. So that is Yoma de Eva, let's call it, on a cloudy day. It's also a day with a southerly wind. It is very dangerous. You won't, the wound will not heal properly. Again, something.
Is that
all these things don't make sense up to modern science. The question is whether that's relevant or not, we'll get to.
They're talking about Mila Bismana there.
Even Mila Bismana, sure.
Yeah, yeah.
And the last one is the Gorn Dav, Bodhazar Dav, Lamed, Amit Beis, which is, right? Figs and, what else were there?
Grapes.
Eating figs and grapes at night, right? The principle is that the Gemara says that the pi te'ina is not a problem, giloi, right? Anytime there's a hole in a fruit, we're afraid that a nachash might have put his poison into it. So we say the fact that it was picked off the stem, that we don't worry, was caused by a nachash, that we attribute to the stem. And you could even eat them at night, even though you can't see whether there's another hole in them or not. Why can you eat them at night? Shomer psalm Hashem. So this is te'inim. Let's just call it te'inim. Fit in balayla. Right, even though you can't see whether it has a snake hole in it. Shomer psalm Hashem. Okay, so how come in these five kinds of sakana it says Shomer psalm Hashem, but every place else in Shas, we do not say Shomer psalm Hashem. We require you to take very, very, very good care of yourself. So Rav Moshe actually, started the one here on the sugya of Moch, Rav Moshe believes that the Moch sugya, the Tashmish Amita sugyas, are perhaps a different kind of Shomer Psalm Hashem than the other ones. The Moch sugyas are a different kind of Shomer, are a different kind of Shomer Psalm Hashem. So what's pshat? So Rav Moshe says he doesn't, in Evan Ezer, he doesn't give a general hesber for the general principle of Shomer Psalm Hashem. He gives a more specific hesber that can only explain two of the cases, the partial hesber. So okay, partial hesbers are never as satisfying as full hesberin, but he says it could be, what's pshat in Shomer Psalm Hashem? A partial hesber could be, if you only want to explain these two cases, what does Rav Moshe say? Why do we say Shomer Psalm Hashem dafke about Tashmash for the Gimel Nashim? And about Tashmish when you might hit the 90th day of pregnancy?
You can't do much else. You can't take care of yourself.
No, he says a little more than that. Rav Moshe says, after all, what does it say in the Torah? Does it talk about Tashmish Amita in the Torah?
Okay.
It does. Does the Torah say it's something you should do or shouldn't do? What? It's a mitzvah, right? Peruvu and Ona. So the Torah tells you. Now, does the Torah tell you? We're not talking about weird cases. Normal cases, right? What are we talking about? Pregnant women and nursing women and young women. These are all normal everyday cases. Does the Torah make any exception for them in the mitzvah of Ona? So no. So says Rav Moshe, obviously it's a gzeiras hakasov. This is not going to help you with the ta'anim. Right? It's a gzeiras hakasov that the Torah is telling you that it is not dangerous to be in the midst of Ona in these circumstances. He's not talking about another circumstance. If the doctor says you have a rare disease, then the Torah didn't talk about someone as a rare disease. But here we're talking about everyday life scenarios that happen for many, many, many years. You know, when is a woman, how often is she, if Tana Muberes Menika, could be half of her life? Depending on, I guess, how long she lives post-menopause. It could be a long time. So, what's pshat? So, obviously, the Torah would have said something. Since the Torah didn't say something, therefore, it's exeris akasiv that it's not dangerous. Some people die, right? Where'd they get the whole idea from? Obviously, they saw people die. Moshe says, no. It's obviously exeris akasiv, it's not dangerous. That's Shomer Psalm Hashem. Hashem says, I'll take care of this one. If people die, that's because there's an onish for their averos, and they would have died anyway. Right? We can't normally say that, right? People don't wear seatbelts. We can't say, Hashem takes care of you. People who die, it's an onish for their averos. Because Hashem never said he'd be shomer the people who don't wear seatbelts. But he said he'd be shomer the Gimel Nashim and the Yom Tzadi. Because he said a mitzvah of Ona and didn't restrict it. So therefore, Moshe says it's a special Gzeiras HaKasav that Ona is not dangerous. And even if you see someone dies, that's not because it was dangerous. That's because of Hashgacha Pratis. That's because of Schaga Onesh. Then he has a slightly different formulation. He says, or a different type of special Gzeiras HaKasav. What's the other way of reading the special Gzeiras HaKasav? Forget about these things. What's dangerous? Forget about the Gimel Lashon. What's dangerous about Tashmish Shemita? Don't think of nowadays. Think of the old days. Having kids is dangerous, right? Childbirth is dangerous. Everyone, Ad Hayom Hazeh, having childbirth is dangerous, right? That's our Mechal Shabbos. So the Rashi says, you know what? Having childbirth is dangerous, and it's a Gzeres HaKasov that you should do it anyway. So it's a Gzeres HaKasov that you can undertake this, that you can undertake this danger. It's like Gzeres HaKasov that Hashem will protect you from this danger. So either special Gzeres HaKasov that only is not dangerous, or that it's okay to undergo childbirth related dangers. So here he gives a very specific thing. Since the Torah talks about these things, it commands you to do it. Therefore, when the Torah commands you, it's a special Gzeres HaKasov, Shomer Psarim Hashem.
What about Mila Bizmanos? She said the same thing.
What about Mila Bizmanos? So theoretically, perhaps, you could have used this also to explain Mila Bizmanos. You could say, it's a Gzeres HaKasov to do it versus Mila. Hashem didn't say anything about the weather. So perhaps, the truth is, if you want to stretch, you might be able to, Rav Moshe does not seem to do that. Maybe you could have used this to explain the Sugya versus Mila also. And if you want to stretch even a little more, you could even have used to explain Hakaza, after all. Because if Hashem said Bris Mila is not dangerous, Hakaza is the same thing as Bris Mila. But it's not going to help for Avodah Zarah. Hashem never said you should eat figs and grapes at night. So I think we're still going to, at some point, need another Hesper. So that's one possibility. What? But you might say, since Hashem said Bris Mila is not a mitzvah, and it's medically, it's not a sakana, and it's medically the same as Hakaza, then Hakaza is also okay.
Special school of world.
What?
World, yeah.
No, but in Chazal sometimes did. They often equated Hakaza with Bris Mila, so that doesn't bother me. But let's forget about this for now. Let's put this on the side. Let's be more ambitious. We want a general Hesber of when we say Shomer Sa'im Hashem versus when we say Shomer Psalm Hashem versus when we say that that you're Chayav Li Shomer Misakana, right? Can someone tell me what might differentiate these three cases of Shomer Psalm Hashem from the general obligation that we have to be Shomer ourselves from Sakana? So, many Achronim pick up on a particular catchphrase. What does the Gemara say in some of these sugyas? Is the reason why Shomer Psalm Hashem? Right, Doshav HaRabim, right? What does the Gemara say in Dafayim Beis? Yivam HaSayim Beis. Now that Doshav HaRabim, now that everyone does it on the cloudy days and the southerly wind days, so Shomer Psalm Hashem, and that's also the Gemara says in Masechet Shabbos about the Mars. Now that everyone does it, covers on Friday, Shomer Psalm Hashem. Now that everyone does it, Shomer Psalm Hashem. So maybe it has something to do with Dashube Rabin. This is a case of Dashube Rabin. But of course, just the fact that everyone does it doesn't answer our question. Because, right, anyone? Everyone grew up, hopefully. Everyone grew up with a mother. And what did your mother tell you when you were a little kid? If all your friends jumped off the Empire State Building, right? Did that make it right? Right? And a lot of that, I mean, what is that? Everyone does it, right? You look around the world nowadays, and you go in America, 90% of all Jews drive on Shabbos. That doesn't make it okay, right? Just because everyone does it doesn't make it okay. I think if you were telling me, what do you mean, seatbelts? Nah, everyone drives without a seatbelt. Come on, then. Everyone rides their motorcycle without a helmet. That still wouldn't make it okay. Just because everyone does it doesn't make us or things mutter. So what somehow about everyone doing it would make the Shomer Psalm Hashem? So, then, what theories do we have? Yeah?
Everyone does it and they're not dying.
Aha! So this is actually a pretty fundamental chakira. What's the reason? Let me come back to that in a second. Why everyone doing it makes it okay. Let's start. I xeroxed on the Makorah sheet here. Toras Chaim. Which is, one of the old classic Achronim on Shas. It's even on the very line. It says, "Pita inom shum giloi time ekam asim shum shenem shum sar Hashem." V'yem tomer ma'ishnatein v'anam shakadosh baruch shomer sa'adim shlo yochem menu nachash v'shardom v'shum shum giloi. Says very pasha. Tein v'anam Hashem will make sure you don't get poisoned. How about Mayim Megulim? Why doesn't Hashem shomer you there? Delom rein hachem yishlomer tchi heishu yisbar shomer p'sam dav kulo hacham v'shacham yicholim lishmor sa'atzim shlo yochem lidim echshol she'enkein shotim. Why is Hashem shomer p'sam? Because psalm can't be shomer themselves. Basically, God helps those who can't help themselves. Or those who help themselves. But he's not shomer chachamim because they should take care of themselves. So it's after it's more after one. Hachinami mashkin shaykhim gilukon yayin amayim choshim esim osom akilim atom de efshel odin shom lo sos and yafe nein ochashim lakach in shmir osi yisbar chaleim aval te'ein about no other milsa lo efshel shet sarach liyabshim mecham lasim em grogus etim ukin vein darkin liyish bekelim tom lachin shmir osi yisbar chaleim v'itikin olamo ve okay, so what does the Taurus Chaim say? He says, no, there's a fundamental difference. Whether you could, now what does it mean can? You can do a lot of things. It means you reasonably can, right? You can without undue inconvenience. If you can be shomer yourself, let's say two things are the same sakana. Scientists will tell you they're each 2% sakana. So if you can be shomer yourself, it's usser to put yourself in sakana. But if you can't be shomer yourself, it's mutter, because shomer psalm Hashem, Hashem, because the tikkun olam helps you when you can't help yourself. And therefore he says, mayim megulim. Everyone knows, how do we water? We normally keep water in sealed bottles, right? We don't. It's not normal to leave water, drinking water, lying around in open buckets. It's normal, derech b'nei adam, to keep water in bottles with the cap screwed on. So therefore, you just have to make sure to always screw the cap on and not be negligent. That's Esher. But te'ein of anavim at night. No, te'ein of anavim, you have to leave to make smukim and grogris. You have to leave them in the fields all summer long. You can't possibly lock them up in a container. And therefore, it's too hard to be shomer yourself. So that's why shomer psalm Hashem. So one example is, what does dasha be'rabin mean? One shot is the Taurus Chaim, and this is also what Rebbe Chanan says. I think I put it in the Makoros. In the Shittim, in the Kovet Shiurim, in Ksuvas, on our Sugya, he says, what's Pshat? In our Sugya, he says, Taurus Chaim and Rav Chanan says this, Manu, the Kovet Shiurim. He says, Doshbe Rabin means that it's E-Efshar, meaning E-Efshar, without undue Tircha, Lishmar. Atmo, what it does we rather mean? Everyone does it because it's too hard, right? It's not everyone does it because they're stupid. Everyone does it because they're too hard, as opposed to if F sharp, Lishmar Atmo. So it's a matter of possibility. If you can take care of yourself, then you have to take care of yourself. If not, then Shomer Psalm Hashem. Maybe all these sugyas were things that it was too hard to refrain from. For example, in our sugya, Noshim Shamshos B'moch, first of all, we're not even so clear this. Mutter be Shamsh B'moch. Maybe it's also use a moch and you'd have to be poorish for your wife for many months. That's too hard. And even using a moch is very hard for people to always use a moch. It's very difficult. It's too hard for people to be Shomer themselves. The 90th day, no one knows what it is. That's too hard. You have to be poorish for a month. Right, it's too hard to figure out when the 90th day is. The Hakazah, they point out that, why do they do Hakazah on Erev Shabbos? Because, what? Because they were poor. You need to eat a big suda after Hakazah, and they only had money for a big suda on Shabbos. They do Hakazah on Friday, even though Mars is at the wrong angle. Because it was not impossible, it was too hard to be shomer themselves. Because they couldn't afford to have a big meal on another day of the week. And I guess you could say for the meal on Hakazah also, you know, you need to schedule that kaza at certain times, right? And it's too hard to always keep track of what kind of day it is and the weather changes and to always change your plans. Some things are too difficult. So therefore, if it's too difficult, then Hashem takes care of you. And that's the shita of the, apparently, Rav Meir thought here. He thought it was easy enough to use a moch, or mutter use a moch. According to this, there are really two different ways to be chacham. Either it's too much of a pain to use a moch, so shomer psalm Hashem, or they think it's usher to use a moch. And you have to be poorish, and being poorish is for sure hard. So shomer psalm Hashem, you can go either way there. So that's one way of reading the chiluk.
Even within this way, are we going to draw a line at some point, saying like even a 90%, maybe like a 90% sakana, even if it is difficult, to still make you protect yourself, you know, watch yourself, or?
You would think so logically, although you have to figure out where to draw the line. Okay, that's one possibility. Another possibility sort of similar to this, if you take it on the very, very, very simplest level, if you take it on the simplest level, actually, you can take this on the simplest level different ways. Shomer Psoim Hashem. What's the simplest level of explaining when Shomer Psoim Hashem applies?
If you don't know, then it's...
Right. What is a, if you're a peasant, right? maybe, and this is what I quoted here, this line in the Trumas Hadeshen, right? The Trumas Hadeshen is discussing why they were making those days to marry a Kabbalist and all the kulas there, and he suggests maybe it's going to Shomer Psar Mashem, and he has a line in this famous Trumas Hadeshen. It's a famous Trumas Hadeshen, and now we're making to marry a woman who had two husbands who died. Says, Tzarech Ian, if you can say Shomer Psarim for a Talmud Chacham, because you know, meaning, even the Talmud Chacham used to do this, Tzarech Ian, you say Shomer Psarim Hashem, and someone knows, the simple shot might be that Shomer Psarim means that people don't know the danger. If you don't know, Hashem guards you. If you know, then you have to guard yourself. Similar to Tzarech Ian, but a little different. And what are all the sukkahs of Shomer Psarim Hashem saying? That we, the Amorayim, might have a different story. But the Amcha, the Hamon Am out there, just don't tell them it's dangerous. They didn't know it was dangerous. The Hamon Am weren't such experts, perhaps. They knew about the Gimel Lashem, the Sakanas? Nah, the Chacham say Shomer Psarim Hashem. Just don't tell them about the Sakana and let them be Psayim 90 days after pregnancy. No one knows when it's 90 days, so we're all Psayim. The Te'ena, maybe people didn't think it was dangerous. They didn't know that snakes could bite into Te'ena and leave poison. So don't tell them. So it could be another shot. And this is what the... It's not really a Michtam LeDavid. It's really the Michtam LeDavid just quoting the Torah Chesed, which has a very important essay about this, but the Torah Chesed is not on the computer, so I just quoted it. Someone, the Michtam LeDavid quoted him, Bilshono. I brought the Michtam LeDavid here, and also because the Michtam LeDavid is our very own, is written by David Pardo, so it's always nice to see a Michtam LeDavid, the author of the Chassid Dominant Tosefta. So the Michel David quotes here from the Torah Chesed, which is one of the real Gedolei Achronim among the Sfardim, about a certain person who wanted to be choshes for Tzavas from Yehuda Chassid. And he says, Ah, Doshav Rabbi, no one worries about this from Yehuda Chassid. So he says, one second. He says, what about the Trumas Hadeshen? Right? He knows Rav Yehuda Chassid. When do we say Shomer Psarim Hashem, Doshavei Rabim? When everyone does it out of ignorance, then we say Shomer Psarim Hashem. This guy you claimed, I'm not ignorant. I think, meaning, people might be ignorant of what it says in Sevas Rav Yehuda Chassid, that is Satana. Or, they might have heard of it, but not paid attention to it. So that's Shomer Psarim Hashem. Either they never heard of it, or they weren't machshiv it. But this guy who's machshiv Sevas Rav Yehuda Chassid, so he's not a Pesi anymore. Why should he have Shmir from Hashem? And therefore he says, even though everyone violates it, if this guy takes it seriously, then he's not a Pesi anymore, and therefore he's obligated to follow it. So the Trumas Hadeshen brings up this factor, and the Torah Chesed also, that maybe Shomer Psarim Hashem is if they don't know, right? Is not for Chachamim, it's only for the masses who don't know the danger. That's what the Trumas Hadeshen said. How can you say, Shomer Psarim Hashem, that a Chacham, who knows everything it says in Shas? And when do you have to guard yourself? We always guard ourselves when we know the danger. If you don't know the danger, Shomer Psarim Hashem, and that's exactly what Chacham is saying. Just don't tell the masses that it's dangerous in the first place. People don't think it's dangerous. People think it's normal life to be Meshavish to Gimel Lashon. Ah, Rav Meir says, tell them all to use a moch. Darshan, they should have a higher standard of health than and shmir misakana. I'm saying, no, just don't tell them what they don't know won't hurt them. Right? If they don't know, then shomer psayim.
You could even use this shot to explain, although I haven't seen this explicitly, why the Gemara in Arab Sakha says, man de kapid kapdina bade, man de lo kapid lo kapdina bade, right? The Gemara in Sakha says, when it comes to the various type of demons who attack you in circumstances of even numbers, etc. If you don't worry about it, it doesn't hurt you. Why? If you don't worry about it, it doesn't hurt you. So you could say, because, you know, they're not really demons. It's just, you know, your own stress is going to hurt you. Or you could say, it means there are really demons, but the demons only have power if you give them power. You could also say, no, they're always demons, they're always powerful. But if you know about them, what's dangerous, then you're on your own. If you're not makid, if you don't really understand all the rules of demons, and you don't know anything about the demons, then you're okay, because Hashem is showing you. Shomer Psarim Hashem.
Along the lines of what you were just saying, is that the same thing as
whether not knowing about it, but not actually believing to be Sakana or not?
Correct. The Chor, the same would be true if you didn't believe it, like in Rabbi Yehuda Chassidy, even if you knew it but didn't believe it, you'd still be a Pesi. After all, what is a Pesi? A Pesi could be someone, in the literal sense, who's ignorant of a certain field of study, or who was told about it but didn't understand that it was true. That's also a Pesi. He's probably a bigger Pesi. No, there are people out there who you tell them scientific conclusions, and they have some weird ideas, and they don't accept the scientific conclusions. So they're a Pesi, even though you told them, because they didn't believe it.
No, but wouldn't they? Can you still theoretically say they still be chayiv to? Why, even they don't believe in it, you can still tell them you're chayiv. You know the situation.
No, I don't think so. Meaning, if someone really, according to this shot, it could be that, does someone have to wear a seatbelt or not? If someone really doesn't know that seatbelts, driving without a seatbelt is dangerous, then maybe they're okay, because Shomer Psalm Hashem. It's only we who know about seatbelts, because we have been so much public education about this, that we don't Shomer Psalm Hashem. It turns out to be sort of perverse, right? It could be that teaching people that Sakana makes it more dangerous, then they lose the Shomer Psalm Hashem. But okay, not impossible.
Why wouldn't you put the cutoff between Shomer Psalm Hashem and being a Chacham in this case, the same as between Sodium and Mazik? Once you're informed of the information, doesn't that put you in the category?
No, so it might depend whether you accept that it's Sakana but want to be reckless for your own Hana'ah, or you're just not convinced that the canons of proof that they were using are valid. Right? So there might be a difference. If I tell someone, you know, it is dangerous to ride a motorcycle without a helmet, and they say, yes, but it's much more fun and impressive to girls, then maybe that's not Shomer Psalm Hashem. But if I tell them it's dangerous to ride a motorcycle without a helmet, and they say, no, my natural healer told me that it's really because the people don't eat enough flaxseed, and has nothing to do with the helmets, then maybe they're a Pesi and they still have the Shmir. So it might depend why you don't listen. That was an exaggeration. I don't think someone would actually say that.
I don't think also that the Torah's Chaim brings the man the copy for his Svarah as well. His Svarah is able to account for that. They're saying that if you're Makbid on it, then that's presumably something that's within your normal realm where you could be expected to be your own Shomer for. I think like at the end of this piece there.
Meaning, the assumption is that the kapit is a matter of being yicholas lahakpit. Certainly possible.
Yeah, but also, so just wondering, so is the distinction between, let's say, all the things that are in Shulchan Aruch about Sakana, you know, Kufta Zayin, those are just things that coincidentally we happen to know about? Or was that bedavka that the Chazal thought they should be mefarsim these halachas, and therefore you have to be shomer yourself, and these ones will...
So I think, according to this shot, which is hinted at in the Torah's Chasim Trimus Hadesh, which I don't think is mainstream, you would say that the only reason they ask for things to come is because people happen to know about them anyway. Because the general society is mefarsim. But there's no point being mefarsim to people if society doesn't know about it, because as long as they don't know, Shomer Psalm Hashem. I saw an interesting shot by Bleich. He writes, based on an early Tshuva of Moshe. There's the early smoking Tshuva of Moshe, which seems to take another line very literally. If you look, it's on the sheet. I mean, the Isham Sigaros Vadim came to Shashlas Cholos Mizeh Min Haro Oy Lizar Mizeh of a Lomer. No one thinks it's good to smoke. I mean, 100 years ago they did, but nowadays in the post, well, Lomar Shasur Me Yisur Sakant became the Dash of a Rabbin. Praise the Lord. He got the Shomer Psalm Hashem. Shabbat Daf Kuchotes Me Daf Lamed Aleph. Prat Shekamik Doli Torah Dorsh Over Dorayin Shema Ashnin. Okay, Ramosha says it's smoking cannot be Asur because Sakana because Dash of a Rabbin Shomer Psalm Hashem. Now later on he's going to clarify. This is in Tavshin Chav Dalad. Let's call that 1964. Later on in 1981. He is, Hanukkah. Zayin de Hanukkah, Tavshin Chav Dalet. The assumption is, I'll assume it's 63, but I can't be sure. Let's call it 63. In 63, that's what he said. In 81, he came and clarified himself and took a different direction. Right? Why do I really like this formulation? Maybe it's just Doshu Barabin makes it mutter. Why would just Doshu Barabin make it mutter? So maybe you could say, this is a little unclear, because Rav Moshe clarified that he didn't really mean this. All right, Bleich is very, very convinced that this is the truth. Alpi, Rav Moshe in Tavshin Chav Dalet, although I don't know how much credence to give that, he says that Mamish Doshu Barabin, why should Doshu Barabin make it mutter? So he wants to say an interesting pshat. He says, how do you define Sakana? How do you define Sakana? After all, is crossing the street dangerous? Yes. Right? I mean, unfortunately, people get killed all the time crossing the street. Maisim b'chol yom. Crossing the street is dangerous. So why isn't it sakana to cross the street? Now you can have other answers. But his answer is, because dasha bar rabin, because everyone, not just everyone crosses the street. Because, for example, in Syria, everyone lives in a, you know, in a war zone. That doesn't make it not dangerous, right? In certain countries, everyone lives in a war zone their whole lives, but they don't want to live in a war zone. They're stuck. They think that it's a bad situation. They just have no way to escape. Things that people consider dangerous are dangerous. But things that people consider harmless, even if they're really dangerous, can't be called sakana. He says society is koveya. What is called sakana, what isn't? And his proof is, we'll see if you can get out of this proof, we do lots of dangerous things every day. Why is it mutter to cross the street if crossing the street is dangerous? The answer is because society considers it normal. Living is dangerous, right? Every day you live, you might die. Right? Right? Every day you live, you might die. Okay, that's silly. But everything we do is, driving is certainly dangerous, right? So why is driving dangerous? Why is driving mutter? Driving on the highway is mutter, but driving without a seatbelt is usser. The answer is because driving is a normal part of life that people accept as the normal part of life. And life is life. Life is dangerous. Not wearing a seatbelt is considered to be doing something dangerous that's not a normal part of life. And he says the definition of sakana is subjective. And that's what Dasha Bei Rab, one second, Aaron. He says Dasha Bei Rab, he said that's what Dasha Bei Rab means. He says, pshuta kamashmo. Whatever society considers normal is automatically not sakana. Because that is not because it's not sakana. Like, what if it's really dangerous? The answer is life is dangerous. Where do you draw the line? Why am I allowed to do some things and not others? The answer is I'm allowed to do things my society considers normal, even if they're more dangerous than things my society considers dangerous.
Why does society consider it normal and not a sakana? Because society, in certain normal situations, knows how to take certain amounts of precautions.
Okay.
And because of those precautions, they say, now, if you don't take those precautions, so there's the fact that it's normal doesn't mean anything. And I could take more precautions. Okay. So their society has decided that this is the reasonable amount of precaution.
Okay. Okay, that's fair. We'll come back to that in a moment. The truth is, if you ask the Rabbi Chanan, why am I allowed to drive, but I'm not allowed to, you know, what's really dangerous? I don't know, play with knives. You know, he would say, because you have to drive, right? How are you supposed to get places if you don't drive? It's a matter of what's possible, right? Meaning, you have to wear your seatbelt because it's possible to wear your seatbelt, but you don't have to stay home because it's impossible to stay home. How can you do anything? You just stay home. Anyway, Blank would say is no. Society defines what is dangerous. Whatever we consider normal is not considered sakana, even if the odds are 0.1%. Whatever we consider dangerous is considered sakana, even if the odds are only 0.09%. And that is, so it's a matter of whatever society defines as dangerous. For example, I don't know what the example would be. If someone were to do usually it wouldn't work out. Someone were to do study and figure out that eating sushi is actually more odds of being dangerous than playing with guns, doesn't make a difference. We all know it's dangerous to play with guns, and therefore it's usser. We all know it's normal to eat sushi, and therefore it is mutter. That's very blank, and that's why he paskined, that's how he understood Rav Moshe Tzak, that smoking was mutter. That smoking was mutter, because, at least in 63, he admits that nowadays you might think differently, everyone smoked. The scientists could say what they want, but everyone knew smoking was normal. And scientists have a theory. Even if they're right, if everyone knows smoking is normal, that's not called sakana, that's called regular life. And in regular life, shomer psoim Hashem. It's very similar to the Truma Sadesh, etc. That's our life wanted in Taina.
Would that extend the things that Chazal said to Russer, like eating, fish and meat together? That's totally normal.
That's
not dangerous anymore?
That would be an interesting question. You might say that once it's in the Shulchan Aruch, that's Koveya, our society, you know, etc. So that's an interesting survey of. Meaning, even if it was really dangerous, right? Maybe you could say Shomer Psalm Hashem, that would be an interesting question. But you might say, no, the Shulchan Aruch is the Shulchan Aruch. That's like, you know, for us, the Shulchan Aruch is, you know, the, you know, is a very famous code book that's Koveda what we do. Now, what all of us keep edging to say is that, basically, what all these Pshatim have in common is that it has to do with us. It's what we, it's practical. What we practically can do, we have to do. What's impractical, Hashem guards. What we practically know about, we have to do. What's impractical, Hashem guards. What we practically consider dangerous, we have to adhere to our own standards. But you could say it's not a matter of what's practically, it's not a matter of us. These are all subjective, right? Subjective pshatim in Shomer Psarim Hashem. But you could say, no, maybe it's not a subjective chiluk. Maybe it is an objective chiluk. What would be the objective chiluk? What would be the objective chiluk? How is Dasher Be'Rab an objective chiluk? Is Dasher Be'Rab, it sounds subjective, right? Shomer Psarim Hashem, being a Pesi is subjective. Dasher Be'Rab sounds subjective. Could you claim this is an objective chiluk?
Yeah.
Why?
People aren't dying.
Right, because the Dasher Be'Rabim are not arbitrary, right? Rabim are not arbitrary. Why would the Rabim do a dangerous thing? If I were to tell you, this is dangerous, but Dasher Be'Rabim, everyone does it every day, then what would you say back to me? It's a very dangerous thing, but everyone does it every day. What would you say to me? Obviously, it's not dangerous. Obviously, you made a mistake. You thought it was dangerous. It is something which some people mistakenly think is dangerous. But obviously, if everyone does it all the time, I mean, keep in mind, we're human beings. We're not, I don't even know, even if we were animals, I think we would still be able to handle this. Right? We're not amoeba. We're not worms. If everyone does something and people would die all the time, they would stop doing it. Right? I mean, we're not that dumb. So if everyone does it, igloi milsa, then it's not dangerous. We thought it was dangerous because we had a good theory and saw people die. Taka, someone does it and I see that it's dangerous and they die. So what will you say to me? But does you be Robin? So what will you say to me? I say, I know it's dangerous. You could die from it. So what did you say to me? You could die from it, but...
most don't.
But it's highly unlikely, right? Meaning, obviously, we're not talking about that Chazal didn't know anything. We're not talking about theories that are mufrach. Really, there's a good reason to think it's dangerous. Really, it is logical to consider it dangerous. But if enough people do it and don't die, that proves that it's only a little dangerous. It can't prove that it's safe, because some people die, but obviously prove that it's not terribly dangerous. For example, if you ask me, why is it mutter to cross the street? You could die crossing the street. The answer is, you really could die crossing the street. You could go to a statistician and actually figure out the odds of dying crossing the street. And the odds of dying crossing the street are significantly higher than the odds of dying sitting in your living room watching TV. Right? You can work out all the odds. But, whatever the odds are, it really is dangerous. You really could die, chas v'shalom. But obviously the odds are very small because everyone crosses the street and everyone doesn't die. So it's obviously a small chance of sakana. That is what I think most achronim take the objective approach. The objective approach is not that this subjective Dasher Be'Rab is koveya something for us. The Dasher Be'Rab doesn't change anything. The Dasher Be'Rab is an experiment that proves whether it's dangerous or not. Because human beings are not dumb enough that everyone would keep doing something if they all died. So the objective way to say is that Dasher Be'Rab proves the danger is unlikely. As opposed to when we have to be shomer, we have to be shomer ourselves from likely danger. Why can't you play Russian roulette? Because there's 17% odds that you might die. That's a very, very serious danger, right? Why can't you drive without a seatbelt? Because there's, you know, 2% odds, I'm just making it up. You might die, and that's a serious danger. Why can't I drive stam? Because that's less likely that I'll die. Why can I cross the street? That's less likely that I'll die. So maybe the difference is, objectively, it's obviously not such a big sakana. Now, of course, what are you going to say back to me? I just said it's okay to get into sakana if it's not likely. What are you going to say back to me?
Well,
You don't find out until a few people die, and more people don't die.
But after Dasher Be'Rabim, meaning the Dasher Be'Rabim are not people who have shaitas. They Dasher Be'Rabim on their own. Now we have the experiment, right? We have the experiment. Is it really true that it's okay to take to get into danger if it's unlikely?
Right?
By Pikuach Nefesh, we don't follow the Rove. By Pikuach Nefesh, we don't follow the Rove. So, how can you say an unlikely Sakana is okay? We know, what does the Mishnah in Yoma say, right? The building collapses, maybe the guy was there, maybe he isn't there, and maybe, and he was caught under it, and maybe he wasn't, and maybe he's already dead, and maybe he's still alive, etc., etc. So not only are you chayv to save him b'chol, you're even chayv to save him on Shabbos and Yom Kippur. Even though it's a sveika, however many sveikas there are there. Right? It's highly unlikely. So, what are you going to answer?
It depends whether it's right in front of you or it's impossible.
Whose answer is this? So, I think there are two ways to go. There are sort of, what about, yes, the kasha. What about the fact that, right, ein holchin, Pikuach Nefesh Achar Harov. The real line is Ein Holchin Mamon Achar Harov. But some of the Acharonim use that to express a true principle about Pikuach Nefesh. So what more are you saying? Is that no, the Mishnah in Yoma, there was a building that collapsed with people around. The Sakana is in front of us. When the Sakana is in front of us, we don't go by a rove, right? Let's say a guy is sick and has an infection. Say, you know what? 49 out of 50 people will recover just fine from this infection. Don't go to the hospital on Shabbos and get antibiotics. No, the guy is sick. We say, even if the odds are only 1%, if you're a brisker, even if the odds are only 0.0001%, right? The guy's sick. We don't go by the robe. Right? We don't go by. I mean, otherwise, we would never take anyone to the hospital on Shabbos. It's a very rare situation. It's 51% likely that you'll die if you're not treated. Okay, but that's because the guy's sick right here. What's going on with these Gimel Nashim? In these Gimel Nashim, no one's sick. Everyone's perfectly healthy. And what are they doing? Tashra Shemitah. Tashra Shemitah is also perfectly healthy. But it might lead to a situation of Sakana. What's going to happen? She might get pregnant. And she'll be very healthy when she's pregnant. After she's pregnant, it might create a new situation where you'll get into some Sakana. Okay, future Sakana we go by the rove. Otherwise, Ein L'Davar Sof. Everything could lead to Sakana. That is the Binyan Sion's Chiluk. The Binyan Sion's Chiluk is future Sakana versus Sakana B'Faneinu. He even says it here. He says, how can you say Shomer B'Sar Hashem by the Gimel Nashim? That's ridiculous. What happens to the fact that we don't go by Pikuach Nefesh by the Rove? So he says, that's only if it's in front of us already. Right, that's what the Binyan Sion says. It's a matter of bifaneinu, not bifaneinu. Here it's talking about there's a miyot sakana. And it's not bifaneinu. All these cases, Zakana is not bifaneinu. The Gimel Nashim aren't going to die now. They're not in danger now. Just might lead to a bad pregnancy. Then we say, Shomer Psayim Hashem. As opposed to a case where someone's mom is sick, or there's an avalanche, this is, if you have a Rov Sakana, or a Miyot, the Sakana bifaneinu. That's the case when you don't follow Rove. That's why it's perfectly okay to do something that'll end up with a 2% chance of Sakana down the line. But if someone's sick now, and there's a 2% chance of Sakana, you have to be Chalal Shabbos. And his proof is, he has a very interesting proof they bring. When do you say Birkas Hagoma? What, four cases? Why do we say Birkas Hagoma? I'll bet. Why do we say Birkas Hagoma? Because you were in danger and you got saved. So one case if you're sick. All right, what can you do? The other case, you're thrown in jail. All right, what can you do? I mean, try not to get thrown in jail, but, as well as you behave, they can throw you in jail anyway if they want. What are the other two cases? Across the ocean or across the Midbar? Says, hold on a second. Who told you, if it's such a big sakana that you bench Gomel, who is matter crossing the ocean or crossing the Midbar? Right? Why is it mutter to get into sakana? So says the Binyan Tzion, no. Because when you cross the ocean, there's nothing dangerous. Cruises are wonderful. If there's a storm, then it'll be dangerous. When you cross the Midbar, it's a lot of fun. You look in Hilchos Avelos, it says that going out on the Shayar in the Midbar is a big social event. People have a lot of fun on these Shayaras in the Midbar, spending time together. It's wonderful to go through the Midbar in a Shayar. There's nothing dangerous. If bandits come, then it'll be dangerous. He says, that's the case if there's a small chance, there's a mere chance of Sakana, but right now there's no dangers. You're putting yourself in a place where maybe a Sakana will happen later. That's mutter. It's mutter because the Sakana is not befaneinu. Therefore, even though it's a real danger, it's a 2% danger, it's worth saying gomel, and maybe it's even a 10% danger. But since the there's nothing dangerous now, just something might happen later, then there's no sakana. Same as the gil nashim. Nothing's dangerous now, just she might get pregnant and something might have a complication later. That is not considered sakana bifaneinu. That is the pshat of the Binyan Tzion. However, most of the achronim, I would say most of the achronim take pshat number 5 here, I believe. What do most of the achronim say? And which most of the achronim did I put here? The Divrei Malkiel and the Tzemach Tzedek and the Achi Ezer, and I think a lot of other people also. But that's enough for now. The Divrei Malkiel. This Tzemach Tzedek is the Lubavitcher Tzemach Tzedek. And the Achi Ezer. And also Rav Moshe, I think, in his later tshuva, says, what's pshat in Dasha Be'Rabin Shomer Tzarem Hashem? It's obviously not so dangerous as Dasha Be'Rabin. Oh, we were even out of Miyat Sakana. So what did these Achronim say? Don't we worry even about a small chance of Sakana?
It's a very, very small chance.
So the answer is it depends how small. They're small, and there's really small. Right? That's what, for example, who do I put in the Divrei Malkiel says? That, called Malkum, she's cured, have shown some hakavona, she's there, have ever rochok me old, she yavel de Sakana de ze. It's rochok me old. It's not just a mute. It's rochok me old. There's a small chance. It's kind of like in Yoma. Maybe. I just said four maybes makes it a 1/16th odds. That's a significant meal, right? Even if you say five maybes, it's a 1/32nd odd. That's a serious sakana. As opposed to, if you do this, a 0.01% chance you'll die. You know what? Okay, that's not a sakana. That's a shash rachel mode. And that's what he says. He says a different shot. Why you're allowed to go in the Sfina and the Midbar? Why are you letting go in the Sfina and the Midbar, says the Divrei Malkiel, even though it's dangerous? The answer is just such a small danger that you're allowed to go into it. Why do you bench Gomel? So the answer is you bench Gomel even for a very small odds of danger that wasn't really serious. He has to be mechadish that even something which is a chashash rachuk of danger is still worth benching Gomel for. All right, you never know. It's always good to be moded to Hashem. So that, I think, is the most popular pshat among the Achronim. I think the most popular pshat among the Achronim is what the Divrei Malkiel and many, many others say. This is a chash rachok, and this is a miyot, but it's not a chash rachok. Right? That's a miyot amatzoi. Without necessarily saying it has to be the exact same definition of miyot amatzoi is when checking for bugs. There's a miyot amatzoi and there's a chash rachok. Right? Let's call this miyot amatzoi. Right. I don't know where to draw the line. Maybe 2%, that's a miyot amatzoi in this case. It's like, that's a small chance of danger, but it's still a chance. 0.01%? Nah, that's not that much. Shash rachok. Aren't shash rachoks also dangerous? The answer is shomer p'sharma 7. That's what Dasha Be'Rabin means. If it was 2 or 3% chance, if one out of every 30 or 50 people died, people would have stopped doing it. Obviously, one out of every 1,000 people dies. And you know what? That's a show. What if you do something one out of every 1,000 people die? That's sure, Psalm Hashem. You know, at a certain point, your Shabbos ends and you can rely on Hashem when it comes to a Chash Rachok of danger. You're allowed to put yourself into a Chash Rachok of danger. And that's how he explains Birkas HaGomel. And this is where Moshe, this is what, if you look in the, I can't read all the chooks to you, and hopefully we read them ourselves, but I think I see Rux. Some of the spoken tshuvas, that since Eliezer writes back, responding to Rav Moshe Shita, I don't know if he responded to Rav Moshe himself, he says, there's no chance to paskin that smoking is much of his dasher bei rabin. And there's no chance to say, Shomer Psarim Hashem. Now, he says, when do we say this? We say this when there's no proof that it really is dangerous. What does Rabin means? Everyone does it, it's not dangerous. That proves it's not dangerous. If you look at these five cases, ask any scientist nowadays, stop any guy on the street and ask them how dangerous these five things are, and what will they tell you? Not at all! Right? This is not dangerous at all. We all know that. I mean, this is what these Rishonim would say. These Achronim would say. Come on, Tasha on the ninth day of pregnancy? That's not dangerous. Oh, maybe it's a little dangerous? Yeah, but it can't be more than a Chashash Racha, because scientifically, what's so bad? The Mars and the Yom of the Eva, come on, maybe it's a Chashash Racha. You never know, right? You never know. But scientifically, we all know it's not so bad. Eating pain at night? Come on, what are the odds? So slim that there's going to be poisonous snake in there. We don't understand how that would happen. And even the Gimel Lashim, the Katana, Taka might be very dangerous for an 11-year-old to get pregnant. But it never happens. It's one in a million. You know, Mu'uberis, that Tashin Mu'uberis could somehow damage the vlad? You never know. It could happen. Scientists haven't proven that it's impossible. But it's highly unlikely because it just doesn't work scientifically in the normal case. The Menekes, Tigmal Espanah, that's the one that has the strongest scientific basis. We all know Maisim Cholyom, that rove people Bizvan Hazeh, when they get pregnant, stop nursing their kids. Their bodies don't have enough resources to sustain a pregnancy and nursing, unless they're have very strong bodies, or they take care of themselves and have very special diets, etc., to put themselves in a very, very strong health situation. But the normal minhag olam nowadays is that when a woman gets pregnant, she's gomelus espanah. But you know what? By the time a woman gets pregnant, she can get pregnant, it's going to take a little while. And then by the time the pregnancy develops, it's going to take a little while. And by that point, the kid will already be eating some foods, and she can always hire a nursemaid, and she can always give them healthy things, you know. Again, when a baby's one day old, 2,000 years ago, I don't think there's anything you could feed the baby, any formula they had in those days that can make the baby survive. But by the time the baby's 6, 7, 8 months old, it's okay, so... It's a 1 in 1,000 chance anything will happen to the baby. They'll be able to take care of the baby. You know, it's not going to be the end of the world. So that's Shana Dushabe Rahim, that these things really aren't dangerous. Not to deny Chazal's theory that they were dangerous. Imagine the theory it's dangerous. But that's a Chash Rachuk. And that's what the Tzitzelius says Dushabe Rahim, he's on the objective side. Dushabe Rahim only helps if that's a scientific proof that it's safe. But if the only reason they were Dushabe Rabim is because they didn't know the science and now we're proving that it's unsafe, then objectively it's unsafe. Dushabe Rabim doesn't help. We go by the objective evidence. There's scientific proof that it's dangerous. So therefore, and look, all the governments know that it's dangerous. It's just the people haven't jumped on the bed and haven't gotten with the program yet. And he quotes the Surgeon General, Harofi Amerikai Yarashi, etc. So he said, it's Pashut. He says there's no way to prevent cancer better than stopping smoking. He said it's Pasha that it's usher and there's nothing to talk about because Dushabe Rabim is not subjective. It's objective. And really, it turns out that's what Moshe thought also because he wrote another tshuva in 81 when they asked about Shomer Psar Hashem. And he says, why did I matter smoking? He didn't ask her smoking. But he said, why did I matter smoking? He says, Nira Pasha, what's Shomer Psar Hashem? Dika Harbi Shalom Kashalubi Plum. Many people, it doesn't damage them at all. Then there's no then there's no issue. And he says, for example, what does he say about smoking? He says, "Dami ishe cigar she ilur gilman and mizeo mizeo starm she ilur cigarios." And he says, "Vakilko lachalus mizeo al kopan arach miyat kata." It's a miyat kata who gets sick, who get cancer from smoking. A miyat katan gets sick from smoking. For sure, cancer is a tiny miyat of people get cancer from smoking. Says, you the doctor, you saw many, many people with cancer, lung cancer from smoking. It's because you work in the cancer ward of a hospital, so you don't have a representative sample. He says, but if you took all the smokers, for sure, it's 1 in 1,000 who gets cancer from smoking. That's not really dangerous. That's what he says. So All the sick people are miyot compared to most people objectively don't get sick. Chashash goes out means shomer psarim Hashem. So Rav Moshe also takes the objective side of things, and Rav Moshe, as it turns out, he doesn't hold subjectively like Rabbi Bleichen thought based on his earlier tshuva. Right? Really, when it comes to smoking, Rav Moshe and the Tzitz Eliezer say, it's objective. The only difference is Rav Moshe is writing in 81 when objectively he thought that only a small minority of people can get sick from smoking. For most people, it's totally healthy. That's what Old Talmudim can say. If Rav Moshe were alive today, right? I mean, he didn't, after 81, he didn't last terribly long, right? He passed away in 1985. So this was Shavuos of 81. So was 86. I apologize. 86, of course. Purim of Titus Esther of 86. So he passed away less than 5 years later. If he had been alive in 2000, 2010, and 2012, then he would have changed his mind. So he saw what the Tzitz Eliezer quoted. He would have read all the scientific studies. He wouldn't even had to. Never force him. And he would have said, what do you mean? It's not one in 1,000. It's one in 10. It's one in whatever. And he for sure would have been Matir. He for sure would have Osir, I meant. He sure would have been Osir, which is why a lot of people assume that cigarette smoking is Osir Bizman. Is that even according to our Moshe? But one thing's very clear that he clarified later. I didn't mean a subjective standard of Shomer Sar Hashem. I meant the objective evidence. And here we see the objective evidence to the best that he knew at the time, that smoking is not really dangerous. It's a far out chash. It's like going in the midbar of the yam. But I think nowadays he would think differently. And that's what the Talmudim say. So, these are the basic, when it comes to smoking then, lemaisa, if you look at it objectively, it seems pretty dangerous. If you look at, the truth is, right, Blythe has written more recently, I forget the exact, we're in tradition somewhere, but I forget when, that by now, even subjectively, it might not be Dushan Mirabim anymore. Because in many countries, people really think it's dangerous. Like in America, people really think it's dangerous to smoke. And the people who smoke know that it's dangerous, but they say, I'm addicted, what can I do? But I know I shouldn't smoke. Like even the people who smoke know they shouldn't smoke. They just got addicted somehow when they were young and foolish, and there's nothing they can do anymore. So the truth is that if you look at it objectively, for sure it should be usher by now. If you look at it subjectively, nowadays I think society considers it dangerous. Everyone knows about the danger in the Western world nowadays. And it's certainly possible not to smoke. Perhaps, based on the Torah Chaim, you could have a bit of a limud tzlus on people who are already addicted. Maybe for them it's impossible. Not impossible, but at least as hard as these other things on the board in the Gemara. And therefore, you know, a limud tzlus, I'll be the Torah Chaim, shomer psalm Hashem, b'di'evet, once they're addicted, it's too hard to stop. But that's a tough limud tzlus. That's a difficult limud tzlus. There are other, I saw also in the Mishnah Halachos, he says that a limud tzlus on people already addicted, that there are makom rishonim that you're allowed to have sakana to avoid tzar haguf. If a guy says, I'm in chronic pain, can he get an operation to relieve his chronic pain if there's a 5% chance he might die? Not so pashut, but a lot of poskim say yes. Because to relieve pain, for tzar haguf, you're allowed to get into sakana. So he says, if you're already addicted, it might be a tzar haguf, so it might be a heter of sakana for tzar haguf. But all these heterim are very, it's very hard to come up with a heter. For someone who's not already addicted, it's very hard to come up with a heter as man as that. Even for someone addicted, maybe the Torah is chayim, but it's not so pasha, because, he could have not become addicted. Not so pasha, or maybe tzar haguf. And if you wanted to take a completely different way of trying to find a heter for smoking, then I don't think you do, but it's not clear. Shlomo Zalman Orbach, once someone asked, he's quoted in the Nishmas Avraham as saying something that seems to be more difficult. Someone asked him once, so you're one of the people who are matir smoking? He says, no, I've never matir smoking. So we're not sure exactly what he held, because it's all hearsay. But he quotes Shlomo Zalman as saying at a certain point that, you know, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Sefer Shmias Nefesh not to do things that might kill you. He writes in Hilchos Deos that you should lead a healthy lifestyle. It could be that leading a healthy lifestyle is not an absolute chiyuv, just a proper thing to do. So it could be that lifestyle issues might not be an iser of sakana, that might just be the proper derech. And if you want to say that since smoking doesn't kill you, no cigarette kills you. One cigarette is harmless. It's the lifestyle that's dangerous.
Rav Moshe does sort of throw that in,
but it doesn't seem to be the Iker, correct? But their Nishnah seems to be Rav Shlomo Zalman. If you want to have a limud chus for the smokers, you can say, since no cigarette kills you, it's just the lifestyle that that's dangerous. Maybe having a healthy lifestyle is only hilchas deis, is only a matter of good midos, and it's not an isur d'oraisa, and therefore it's only improper to smoke, not usur. But that's because the Rambam does write, it's proper to eat healthy food so you can be strong and live a long life and know Hashem. But that's also, that's first of all, it certainly doesn't make it okay, just makes it not an isur d'oraisa, and also that is a... that is a bit of a stretch, because it's one thing to say you should eat healthy foods, it's another thing to say, you could do something that's considered dangerous, that's not, part of normal life.
With the known, the secondary dangers of it, you're only talking about...
So some of the posts also discuss, the posts are very machmer in terms of secondary smoke, but you could smoke outdoors, right? I think everyone agrees that no one's going to be damaged from secondary smoke outdoors. There's a lot of ventilation outdoors.
Columbia University is now... deciding to ban smoking on the whole campus.
Really? It's very hard to... I don't know, it would be a big kiddush that secondary smoke is dangerous outdoors. Outdoors is very, very large.
Unless you walk through it.
New York City, almost everywhere, you can't smoke outdoors anymore.
Oh, really?
Like bus stops.
I guess we have enough people smoking outdoors. I don't know. But in any case, I would not, certainly it would be very, very hard to monitor smoking as much as that. And the most you could do is probably a limud schos that people already addicted, so as not to, it's always hard to say that people who are addicted are doing this d'oraisa if you could possibly want to schos, because it's so hard to shake an addiction, but even that's not possible.
Does anyone come down that is an Easter of Hovel Bamo? I mean, clearly, even if it doesn't kill you, it's like, are you allowed to cut yourself? Not because of...
No, but that's the same issue. So am I allowed to eat french fries? Meaning that's the lifestyle. Clearly you're not allowed to cut yourself. But does that mean you're never allowed to have anything unhealthy in your lifestyle that is detrimental to your health? That would be a very, very big chumra. Because that would mean that, the guy who eats french fries once a week is doing an issue d'oraisa in kovel ba'atzmo, and... Now again, the Rambam clearly goes, "Hey, if it's right to eat machol and bring him and be as healthy as you can, so that you can serve Hashem." But it to go from that to saying that to apply chova ba'atzmo to an unhealthy lifestyle is going to be a big fish. Okay, now I just want to. I see we're not going to get to the next subject, but we'll have to push those for next time. But I want to spend the few minutes we have left. It doesn't bother me that we spend three shiurim on three lines of Gemara, because these are not only so important and crucial lines of Gemara, but just such fascinating and intriguing lines. But I want to come back for a second to halach l'maisa about gimel nashim shamshus b'moch b'zman hazeh, how this applies. What about the moch of b'zman hazeh? So, what about this is the question all the Rishonim dealt with, that is not so much dealt with by modern day poskim as much. Because there are a lot of cases where a woman, it's sakana for her to get pregnant. Not normal derech olam. She has some special condition where it's sakana for her to get pregnant. Admittedly, those historians of medicine, if you know anything about history of medicine, that in the old days you were much more likely to get a diagnosis of sakana to get pregnant than nowadays, because they had all kinds of, perhaps misogynistic, I don't know, theories about how a lot of diseases came from the kochos atoma of the womb, which have been discredited. But even nowadays, there's plenty of cases where it's sakana for a woman to get pregnant. Maisim b'chol yom, that the doctors tell a woman, it's sakana to get pregnant. One question I'm not going to now is, what if she wants to do it anyways at mutter? Fascinating discussion at poskim. And a lot of poskim are mutter if it's a small sakana, because they say that, for having kids, maybe we have to be a little more makil. But let's assume, no. They don't want to get into sakana. The doctors say, it's sakana if you get pregnant, you have to wait a year. So, idiot. wait a year, and then we can have 12 kids. So, of course, they have kids already. And she doesn't want to leave them orphans, chas v'shalom. So, it's sakana to get pregnant again. She says, look, I have 4 kids at home. What am I going to do, leave them without a mother? So, 4 kids is also a family. That's good enough. So is it mutter? Nowadays, what would they do? They would use birth control. Right now, they have birth control, which is a Nowadays they use birth control pills, hormonal birth control. It doesn't have to be a pill, it could be a patch, it could be a ring. Hormonal birth control doesn't interfere with tashmish. Or they could use an IUD for long term, which doesn't interfere with tashmish. Birth control that doesn't interfere with tashmish is not a chashash of zera levatzala. Basically, what does an IUD or hormonal birth control turn you into? It turns you into a katana zakena b'ayilonis. Once it's in a katana zakena b'ayilonis, as long as the guy's mekayim peruvu, it's okay, right? He's okay. And even if he wasn't mekayim peruvu, if it's sakana, so you're allowed to wait and be mekayim peruvu when the sakana passes, right? So certainly nowadays, mekayim sakana, we'd say, don't have a shailach zera levatala. Just use a birth control method that doesn't block the tashmish. And that might be mutter even shalom makam sakana if the guy was already mekayim peruvu. Yeah, the Rambam says katana is a little shas zera, leaving that aside, right? Using non-barrier methods of birth control is mutter for everyone if they were already mekayim peruvu. And it's pashut mutter makam sakana. That's no problem. But in the old days, they hadn't invented these things yet. The only way to have effective birth control, meaning, you know, that worked, was with some sort of barrier, such as a moch. Moch was not just 2,000 years ago. 100 years ago, moch was all the best you could do. Right? The poskim 50 years ago. I don't know the exact science. If you look at all the achronim, Moshe and the Achiezer, and people, you know, from before and after the war, a moch was the only method of birth control available. So is a moch mutter b'makom sakana or not, was the question. Can you use a moch b'makom sakana? So, can you use a moch b'makom sakana? That comes back to our sugya. Can you use a moch b'makom sakana? So, what would you think? Can you use a moch b'makom sakana or not? Look at our sugya. Can you use a moch b'makom sakana or not? So you might think of the machlokas are Meir and Chachamim. This is what the Chassam Sofer says. And who are we going to paskin like? Simple pshat, which is true. Chachamim. So we paskin like Chachamim. That's the Chassam Sofer. He's talking about a moch beforehand, which he understands what the sugya is dealing with. Right? So what about a moch? B'makom sakana. So the Chassam Sofer says, Mutter l'Rav Meir, Aser according to the Chachamim, and we hold like Chachamim. So he says, you want to use a diaphragm? Aser, nothing you can do. You can use a moch after Tashmish if you want, because that you can hold like a ring of Tam. But yeah, you can't. What do you have to be Porish? What if you have to be Porish? You have to get divorced and marry someone else. There's no heter because there's no heter because we hold like the Chachamim. Now Rabbi Kiva Eger goes even further. Rabbi Kiva Eger says that it's aser even according to the Chachamim. Why? Because he holds, and this is based on what the Rishonei Svarad say. That what's the heter in our sugya? What did the Rishonei Sfarad say? They said to Rashi, how can you aser it after all? What did they say to Rashi? Come on, how can you aser it for the katana and for the gimel nashim after all? They're not going to get pregnant anyway. The katana is not going to, at the odds are she won't get pregnant, meaning less than 11 can't get pregnant anyway. The gimel nashim, shomer psalm Hashem, they won't get pregnant anyway. They say, because he says, the whole heter in our sugya was not sakana. According to the Rishonei Sfarad. And I think Rabbi Natan would agree. He'd say it's not sakana, but that she will not become pregnant anyway, based on what Rishonei Sfarad attacked Rashi. Now again, other achronim say, just because that's what they say, doesn't mean there aren't always other reasons for heter. He assumes a radical pshat. Sakana was not the heter in our sugya. The heter was she won't be pregnant anyway, so it's not considered shchasa zera. But this woman will get pregnant. She'll have sakana, she'll get pregnant. Therefore, it's hashkasa zera, right? But what are we talking about? Modern women, right? But this woman will get pregnant. She might die if she gets pregnant. But she will get pregnant, so it's hashkasa zera. So what do you do? Be poorish, get divorced. That are the big machmirim on the issue. However, everyone else, who else agreed to this? The Binyan Seer. We'll see why in a second. He also assered. These are the people who asser. However, all the other Achronim were Mekel. Why? Why were all the other Achronim were Mekel? Who are all the other Achronim? The Chemda Shlomo, that's put in the Pesach Tshuva. Again, I don't mean all. I just mean a lot. And the who else did I quote here? The Divrei Malkiel, the Tzemach Tzedek, the Achiezer, and most of the modern day posts, such as the Igros Moshe. They were all said, no, Mutter Afilu Lefi. Oh, sorry. I apologize. It's mutter even according to the Chachamim. Why do they think it's mutter even according to the Chachamim? Because they assume Pashup, Shad, and Sugya. What was Rav Meir's heifer based on?
Sakana.
And what was the Chachamim? Why didn't the Chachamim think it was Sakana? Because? And what's the mainstream Pshat and Shomer Psalm Hashem? Because it's?
Not a big
Sakana. Achshash Rachok. But over here, the doctor says it's not Achshash Rachok. That's Achshash Rachok. You ask the doctor, how dangerous is it for a pregnant woman to have Pashmash? He'll laugh at you. He'll say, as dangerous as crossing the street. Then you ask him, how dangerous is this woman with a very difficult condition to get pregnant? You know, I don't know what she has. How dangerous is this woman? She's, you know, recovering. She just almost died from hepatitis and had surgery, and now she's recovering. How dangerous is it for her to get pregnant? Say, are you kidding? That's as dangerous as swallowing knives. That's a 15% chance she might die. So, says, because they assume the heter was because of the sakana, right? Now again, what does that mean? It doesn't mean pikuach nefesh, because then they could just be porish. The heter of sakana was because, since the only way to a du'ona is with a moch, therefore the tzorech of ona makes it not levatala. That's what Moshe says very explicitly. That's the that's what the Chemda Shlomo says explicitly. That's what the Divrei Malkiel says explicitly. that's what the Tzemach Tzedek implies. That's what the Achiezer says a little different. The Heter becomes Sakana. Why? Either because most postings says, because once there's Sakana, the mitzvah's ona is not levatala, right? Once there's sakana, the only way to do onus with mokhan is not levatala. The Achiezer says a little different. He says it's not called hashkasa zera if the zera would lead to sakana. He says, what do you mean? Hashkasa zera, even if she could get pregnant, any zera that leads to sakana is not a zera of life. It's not a zera of bringing life. So it's not a shkasa zera to kill zera that leads to sakana. The other achronim saying, like Rav Moshe, no, because since the only way to do ona is with a moch, because you don't want to have sakana, then ona is not latolo. Because heter becomes sakana, and even the chachamim admit if the sakana is not Achshash Rachok. And that's why most poskim said, even though we hold like the Chachamim, even the Chachamim admit it's mutter in a case of a real sakana by a real doctor with a real scientific theory. Because they only said, Shomer Tzorim Sheva, Achshash Rachok. One in a million, come on, we all know it's not true. Dasha Bei Rabin, come on, it's a bad theory. But if it's a good theory, then everyone admits it's mutter for sakana. And that's why most poskim said it was okay. The Binyan Tzion, why didn't he go along with this? Why did he think that the Chachamim would say their shita here? The Binyan Tzion says no. The Binyan Tzion says it's only Shomer Psalm Hashem. Sorry, he says Shomer Psalm Hashem is whenever the Sakana is not Bifaneinu.
says even if the doctor says 15% chance of dying, it's not mifaneinu. She might have a complication when she gives birth. So therefore, the Binyan Tzion said the Chachamim would say Shomer Psoim Hashem here. Because not mifaneinu. But all the other Chachamim say no, say Shomer Psoim Hashem. It's a real chash. Oh yeah, I'll just leave you. For those who want, Nechsam Sofer, it's not clear why he thinks the Chacham would be machmir here. Is it because he holds like the Binyan Tzion? Or is it because he holds the real svar of the Chachamim is just there's never a heter of moch? And then it came out to Shomer Psoim Hashem because of EF show like the Kovet Shirim. Okay, anyway, Halach Lemaisa, this is the, basically, the land. They think it's the same machlokas and you don't apply Shomer Psoim Hashem. Kiv Eger says a tremendous chumrah. He says everyone really asks it. The only reason anyone matured is because if you can't get pregnant anyway, that's not a shlasa zera. Most of them said no. There's a heter makom sakana, and in a real sakana, even the chacham admit to Rabbi Meir. Okay, there's a lot more details. I am not oversimplifying, but simplifying and taking out the core. If you really had a chance with Ayin Dishutim, you'd see a lot of fascinating details. Next time, we'll come back and try and make our way through the sugya of Bunim Kisimanim. That was Makor Sheet 39, I think. I want to supplement that a little, so maybe I just want to add one or two things, so I'll send out a new copy of Meretz Hashem tonight.